We got the one and only Michael Steele here on the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker, your host. I'm going to do a complete cheap plug. I'm going to do two of them. The first cheap plug is if you guys want to do that, what you're talking about on the other end of the break about, just trying to see where the national mood is for a potential third party. Wisconsin is one hell of a petri dish, my friend. So, you know, if you want to do something like that, we're a great place to be. Oh, did I lose him? Oh, there you are. Wait, should we start over again? Okay. All right, sorry. We got Michael Steele here on the Rational Revolution. I'm going to do two cheap plugs. The first one I'm going to say is that if you're going to do what you did what you talked about on the other side of the break, when there's an effort to potentially do a third party of concerned conservatives, Wisconsin is one hell of a petri dish. That'd be a great place to see how things would go.
Yep, absolutely. No, that's on the radar, and we got some boots on the ground in the great state, and I'm very familiar with Wisconsin. Spent a lot of money there in 2010.
Yeah.
But you're right. It is a petri dish in so many ways, and really is one of those anchor states for how I think all of this reemerges on the Republican side going forward. So
yeah, this is my second cheap plug. My brother lives in D.C. and he works for one of the administrations, and he's having a tough time because he's safe but not. And I've been meaning to go out there, so I'm actually gonna hit you up, and we're gonna have a cup of coffee about stuff because I would love to.
Dude,
because you're in D.C. right?
Standing order.
Yeah, I'll hold you to that. All right. So now here's the thing. You said this week that Dan Bongino appointment was, quote, not a good day for America. And I was driving in to do the show, and this hit me. And it's like, this kind of feels like a little bit of the PTSD from COVID, where every single day it's something new. Every single day it's like, well, Dan Bongino, that wasn't a good day for America, but neither was Pete Hegseth, and neither was the vote against, vote for Russia against Ukraine. It's like, so every day is one of these, like, okay, this sucks. Well, so does that.
Right.
And it's this wall of sound that I've been calling it that, because that's what it is. Like, how, I don't even know how to put this into perspective. Do you?
Yeah, well, look, this is everything, everywhere, all at once.
Yes.
In a negative vein. It is slapdash throw. We're going to attack the infrastructure of the federal government from within. We know they're going to bring lawsuits. Fine, we don't care. We're reaching the tipping point where Donald Trump will openly defy a court order.
Yep.
With respect to releasing funds that he's supposed to release. But that we're approaching that step. And so all of this is designed to create a higher level of chaos, the confusion, the firing, and then trying to hire. Oops, my bad. Yeah. We didn't mean to fire you. The confusion around sending out a dumb email telling everybody list the five things that you did last week, like they're kindergartners,
and like someone's going to read 3 million emails
designed to do one thing. What was that?
I said that, and like someone's going to actually read 3 million emails.
Well, that's just it. You know, no one's going to read 3 emails, and no department head is going to read the 10,000 emails of the people that are in their agency, or even the 500 emails in their more immediate command and control center. So the reality of it is, it's all a ruse. But at that point, I mean, Steve Bannon made it very clear what this was about. Throw the crap up against the wall. They're going to go try to clean it off. And the moment they go to that part of the wall, throw it
on the other side.
That's what you see happening across the board. The legality of all of this is not even suspect. 90% of it isn't. You cannot randomly just fire civil service because they have civil service protections under the law. You cannot, not spend money that's been appropriated by the Congress, because it's been appropriated by the Congress And the only thing the president has to do then is to put that money where the Congress told them to put it. So there are a lot of various parts of this that they're going up against to challenge and to act like, oh my gosh, you know, we have the right to do this. No, you do not have the right to do this. You do not have the legal standing to do this because this is a congressional function, not an executive function. But it goes to what I was saying before, Mark, yeah, about how the congressional leadership has ceded control to the executive. And now we have this uber-powerful executive that is asserting command and control over the entire federal government. And we're going to see, I think, in short order, the court system come next. And that begins when they defy an order of the court. And the Supreme Court basically turns Marbury Madison on its head and says, yeah, you can do that.
Well, and that's the question, too. You know, and like he's doing all of these things. And it's interesting where, you know, like you said, the Congress is just, yeah, whatever, that's totally fine. You know, cutting USA, drunkenly cutting tens of thousands of jobs. And, you know, rain, sleet, snow, hail can't stop the post office, but apparently a 78-year-old with a really bad spray tan could prove to be insurmountable. Like,
That's okay. And look, you know, it's just, you know, I get it. The 2024 election was all about the price of eggs, okay? Right. But it really wasn't. It really wasn't. It was about a disconnect between the American people after 4 years of Joe Biden and the fact that the Democrats could not figure out how to connect the appropriate dots to what was going on with young men, that was going on even among their core base with black women.
Yeah.
And so you have this, you know, 10 million, Mark, 10 million fewer people voted in 2024 than in 2020.
Yeah, right.
And that right there tells you exactly what, I mean, you're looking at a race in which Donald Trump won by less than what he won in the last election.
It was not a mandate.
Right? Well, he lost by in the last election. Right. And so that tells you the disconnect right there, and here we are. And now we got to figure out how to reconnect voters to the experience that they're going through with the solutions that that the Democratic Party or some other individual can offer to sort of help begin to move off of this.
Yeah, like you said, it really does feel like that time in COVID where you're just waiting for the next horrible thing to happen. And I want to ask, because so many people that I talk to, there's so much noise. There's such a whirlwind, a tornado of stuff going around. And they keep talking about, you know, doom and gloom and all of this. And it's like, where does it end? And then I'm starting to read a book by Heather Cox Richardson, where she talked about how it took Germany less than 6 months to go from Germany with a democracy to Nazi Germany. Now, I know there was a lot going on. But when you have the party that stood for limited government, don't tread on me, stay out of my life, and then like we talked about this Lex Luthor having all of our Social Security numbers and giving his teenage brown shirt minions access to nearly every government database, in the immortal words of a Green Bay legend, Coach Lombardi, what the hell is going on out there? And like, where does it stop?
Stops. I get back to it. I think it stops with us. I just can't see the American people abdicating its hope in the country.
Yeah.
Yes, there are people who are frustrated, and there are people who are going through difficult times. But you know, that Lady Liberty stands in the New York Harbor for a reason. Mm. You know, we have a president who's just told the world we're going to put up a gold card for $5 million. Right. You can become a U.S. citizen. Yeah. We only want rich people to come here. Well, right. I'm telling you, someone who writes a check can write a check for $5 million to come here is not going to go and cut your lawn.
Hell no, they're not.
They're right. not going to. They're not going to pick the food that you need for your table. They're not going to be a part of the service industry of your country, right? To help the country continue to grow and prosper, so that they themselves can become the person one day who can write a $5 million check for something stupid like that, right?
Right.
That's what always been the promise of this great country yeah. was, you know, you can come here and really achieve whatever it is you like to achieve, you want to achieve. And that promise of, you know, you're tired, you're poor, you're huddled masses yearning to be free, really speaks to the global community, which is why people still want to come to America despite everything else that goes on here from time to time.
You know,
but you now have someone who wants to put that all up for sale. It's all transactional for Donald Trump. And so you can get a pair of gold LeMay sneakers and a $5 million gold card, and you're set. And that, I don't think, is the American dream. And that's what the American people need to speak to.
It's
because tell me where your $5 million is for right. your family to come here.
It's really interesting how, you know, this is kind of a small group of people that were, you know, the really outspoken Republicans that, you know, still do believe in freedom and democracy and the values that we had. But it was really interesting on election night or election the day after the election. I was texting with Adam Kinzinger and, you know, I was, how you doing, buddy? And, it was on inauguration morning. And he said, you know, this sucks, but I'm still hopeful. How are you with that?
This sucks, and I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Because I need to see this. I don't know if you caught my rant a couple of weeks on MSNBC where I just lost my mind.
Where you said, like, "What did you say? The to hell with Republicans?" Is that that one?
Yeah, that was part of it. Yeah,
yeah. I saw that.
You know, the first part of it was Simone had asked me, "Well, what should people do?" And I was like, "Show me you actually give a damn about the country.
Yes. Yeah.
Show me you actually care about what's happening right now." And that's what I'm waiting for. And then, you know, Alicia was like, Republicans are good. I say the hell with Republicans. They're the problem.
Yeah.
You can't look to them to solve this because they're not. They have no interest in solving this.
No.
And so it really does come back to how we look at this. When we see a neighbor who we know is a good gal, and she's been raising her family and trying to get her kids through school and, you know, dealing with hard times and good times just like everyone else in the neighborhood, suddenly now put out of work because some numbnut named Elon Musk decided that she's worthless as a civil servant and therefore should be fired for doing her job, for processing the work of the government on behalf of the people in that community. What do we say to that?
Right. And these are good people.
And these are good people. They've done nothing wrong. When we see the immigrant who, you know, has had a family that they've raised here, suddenly now living in the shadows and in fear because their grandparent is threatened, what do we do? So that's where my head is. And so that's my concern to see exactly how we respond in this moment.
Well, I am thrilled. Number one, I'm thrilled that you joined us. And number two, I'm thrilled I got a standing invite to have coffee with you when I'm in D.C. And you have a standing invite to come back when we have that plan about what's next here. You've been listening to The Rational Revolution. Michael Steele, thank you so, so very much. And my thoughts are next. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Bye.